be saved. Amen. Amen. And I tell you, I'm just glad to be here. Glad. Thank you, church, so much for all the wonderful things, Lord. The hospitality, the food, the fun, the fellowship, everything. It's just been wonderful. Amen. It's good to see some old friends, some new friends alike. And good to see the Ruckmans here. Amen. And it's like homecoming, he said this morning. We got friends from all over the upper Midwest here this morning with us. It's just been wonderful. And so let's open our Bibles up to the book of Mark this morning. Mark chapter number 5. I know we've already heard one message out of this text this week, but we're going to be on the other end of the chapter this morning. And Brother Larson, as you were preaching, give some of your testimony, I was thinking I couldn't help but put you in this text where we're going to be at this morning before you got saved. And just the comparison, it's amazing how God works in the soul and changes a life. Amen. And so Mark chapter number 5, verse number 1, we're just going to put in reading. Then we're going to go over to Luke's account and read a little bit about this same account here in the Scriptures and share just a quick thought. We're going to get out of the way. I was noticing a pattern, brother. You started off with a younger preacher. You went to a little older, and then you got Brother Leland bringing up the rear, so saving the elder for the last. And I just, brother, it hit me last night about 1:30. We're filling out that questionnaire down in the hotel lobby, and it has that question of how long have you been saved. I put that down 20 something years. Amen. I can't remember. It was late last night. I got saved in 1998, so that's been a good while. Amen. They said, how long have you been preaching? And I put 19, and I was like, wait a minute, 19 years. Am I that old already? Anyhow, it hit me last night. Reality set in, and the gray hair made sense. Amen. And the no hair and all that. Anyhow, we're just going to get into the Word, and I'm going to leave well enough alone. Mark chapter 5, verse number 1, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. We could stop reading right there and preach a good long while on the testimony of the demoniac of Gadara this morning, how that he was lost, how he was empty before Christ. He had given himself fully over to the ways of Satan in this world. He was a mess. He found out man couldn't help him after he realized Satan failed him. Like Brother Larson said in his own testimony, you get to diving off into sin, and at first it's enough. Amen. Kind of like the old Camel cigarette logo they had. It said Camel satisfies, but they are a multi-million, probably multi-billion dollar company, because that one didn't satisfy. Someone had to go back for another one and another one and another one. The sin is the same way. You get off in there just a little while and you think you're happy. You think you've got the peace you're looking for. Then you realize it's not enough. And so you dive off a little deeper and a little deeper and a little deeper. I believe that's how this man's life was with these devils that he had living inside of him. I believe he had started off with just one, and then maybe another one came in. And then it got to where that wasn't filling that need in his life. And it just got deeper and deeper and deeper until we find out he had a legion of devils living inside of him. That is just what sin does to you this morning. It will wreck your life. It will take you further than you wanted to go. It'll keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And it'll cost you far more than you were ever willing to pay. He realized Satan could not help him. He realized that man could not help him. We find in our text here already that the people, they tried to bind him with chains and fetters. They tried to control him. They tried to contain him. They tried to help this poor fella. Amen. And I tell you, it's just like man's ways today. They try to help you. They try to, by controlling you, by putting you under bondage, by binding you down to the things of this world, to their system of things, their way of thinking, their mindset, just like religion does today. And it may hold you for a little while, but eventually you're going to get tired of those chains. You're going to break free and go right back out into that sin. And then he finally realized he could not help himself. The Bible says always, night and day, he was in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. He looked inwardly for help. Self-reformation only gets you so far. It'll get you right to hell, amen. Doing better will only get you so far. Doing good works and putting on your Sunday best to come to church and playing the role, it'll only get you so far. But that, as far as that'll get you, is hell. And maybe get a little pressure off your back from the preacher, amen. That's about it. And I don't even think that'd last long. But then Jesus showed up. And something changed. Amen. Aren't you glad for the day that Jesus showed up in your life? Amen. And business picked up. No longer did you go looking for the chains and the fetters of this world to satisfy your longing. No longer did you go looking to the ways of this world and the sins of this world, looking for pleasure from peace, for pleasure from sin for a season. No longer were you looking inwardly and trying to find help within yourself for the problems you had. Now we've got someone to go to. His name is Jesus. We can bear all our sorrows, our heartaches, our burdens to Him, and He can hear them and answer them and help them and do what only He can do. Amen. I'm thankful for the day Jesus showed up in my life. But this is where business really picks up here. After Jesus cast the devils out of this man, he says, and he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. What a contrast to the man who's, when we first meet him, his attire was wrong. Over in Luke's account, we're not going to take the time to read it this morning, but the Bible tells us there that he wear no clothes. Amen. We see that his accompaniment was wrong. He hung around the devils and around the dead. Amen. And I tell you, it's just like we stopped at a place the other day, and there was this girl at the counter. She had markings of the world and sin all over her, markings of dead things. And our generation has such a fascination with the dead. They're making movies about it, cartoons for kids about it, and all these other things. And we're weird because we don't like watching things about zombies and all these other stuff. Amen. All that's doing is desensitizing the world to the things that are coming. In the tribulation, and we don't need to be desensitized. We need to be burdened and heartbroken over the lost and get out there and be evangelizing. Amen. His accompaniment was wrong. His activities were wrong. He cried and he cut himself with stones. Amen. I had the opportunity to meet someone who had gotten saved from a life of self-mutilation and sin. And I asked them, I said, what drove you to that point of cutting yourself and doing that? I mean, they just had marks all over their arms, hundreds of scars all over their body from that self-mutilation. They said the pain and the torment they felt inside because of their sin had gotten so great that they felt the only way that they could get peace and relief from that was to cut themselves, to cause them physical harm. And I'm glad that Jesus took all our stripes so that we don't have to. Amen. He took the beating. He took the abuse. He took the pain of the cross so that we don't have to today. Oh, we get to experience the grace of God, the love of God, the gentleness of God, the easy yoke of God. Amen. Sin is a cruel taskmaster, but the Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Amen. His activities were wrong and his audience was wrong. He was among the tombs. I'm glad after he got saved, we find that his attire changed. Amen. It's amazing when a person gets saved, your clothing will change. Amen. And we could preach a good long while on that. Amen. But I tell you, a good judgment of most of the time about a person's heart is going to be on what they wear. Amen. If it's in the well, it's going to come out. That's what I've always heard said. Amen. And so his attire changed. His accompaniment changed. No longer did he hang around the devils and the dead people. He got around those that had a little bit of life in them. Amen. I'm glad that when I got saved, no longer did I want to be around the dead things of this world. I was 8 years old when I got saved. I was mean as a devil. And just assume fight you rather than do anything else. Amen. But after God saved me, I wanted to be around the people of God. Amen. I wanted to be where God was. We find this man, he got right at the feet of Jesus. Amen. I believe a little discipleship was taking place. Amen. The Lord knew that he was there for one person. He knew that Jesus knew that he was about to be run out of town. He knew he had just a few short minutes to pour into this old fellow all that he could so that he could be prepared to go out and do what God had for him next. Amen. Amen. His audience changed. No longer was he crying out to himself. He was crying a message out to the people around him. Amen. We're going to see that here in a minute. So he was clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. That little phrase there, and they were afraid, it always gets me.
They didn't have any trouble with this man when he was full of the devil. We could see that they tried to help him. No doubt they were compassionate people, amen. Most of the time people, if they see a need, they are a man is compassionate. They want to help fill the need. That's why we have charities and organizations going all around the world to feed the hungry, to house the homeless, to clothe the naked, to heal the sick, all these different things, amen. But they tried to help this fellow. They wanted to see him get right. Amen. That's why we have the rehabs and the all these other programs that the world has. But when he really got right, they got afraid. How many of you, Brother Larson, I'm going to pick on you this morning. When you got saved and got right and started going around being a witness for Christ, did your old friends get a little bit nervous around you? Yeah, they got afraid. They was afraid you was going to rub off on them is what it was, amen. They was afraid they'd have to get right. They was afraid they'd have to quit their sin if they got a hold of what you got. The world wants you to get right. They just don't want you to get that right because it convicts them, amen. And we're going to move on. So let's see here. What else have we got here? I've reset my timer, and I don't know where I'm at. Brother, we'll stop here just soon, amen. We'll get about 10 more minutes and be done, and we'll be within the time. So when they were afraid, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him and all men did marvel. I want to take the next few minutes here this morning and look at how to be a successful missionary. How to be a successful missionary. This thing is not just for the missionaries this morning. It's for every one of us that are sitting here in the house of God today. It's for every born-again child of God. This is not something that I have figured out from my years of experience of the ministry and things of that nature. This is something that is straight out of God's Word. And I believe if we will all follow this recipe, we can fulfill God's will for our life. We can fulfill our role as a faithful Christian, as a church member, as what we would call missionaries. Amen. And so if we're going to be a successful missionary, there's some things that have got to happen. Number one, you got to be born again. Amen. This fella, he could have went out after he had had an encounter with Jesus and never trusted in Jesus and went out and started telling people about Jesus, but he would have just been that crazy man that you see out on the street saying the end is near and everybody thinks he's lost his mind and off his rocker. Amen. He would have still just been that crazy devil-possessed man on his way to hell that had an encounter or a religious experience but had never met the Savior himself. Amen. He got born again. I'm glad that Jesus told Nicodemus over there in the book of John chapter 3, he said, you must be born again. Amen. And I tell you, the message today is still, ye must be born again. Have you been saved today? Or are you still living a lie? Are you putting up a front? Are you hoping nobody knows the truth about your situation? Have you been born again? After this man got saved, that's not where it stopped. Amen. A lot of people today, they got it all messed up. They think that once they get saved, they're on their way to heaven. That's where their spiritual life stops. They can go on about their merry way, do what they want to do. Amen. But that is not the end of the story. That is just the beginning this morning. After this man got saved, there was a process of sanctification that took place in his life. Amen. I'm glad that when a person truly gets born again, something inside of them says something's got to change. Things can't stay the way that they are anymore. Something's different now. And it's going to work their way out in their life. Amen. I've got a friend up in Minnesota. His name is Brother Lee. Brother Lee got saved in a jail in prison. He was so drunk when he went into prison that he said it took him 2 weeks for the alcohol to work its way out of his system so that he had a clear mind finally. He said it was the first time in years he'd had a clear mind. His idea of helping somebody quit drinking was to get home and drink all their liquor before they could get to it. Amen. I mean, what a guy, right? But he was sitting there one night, independent fundamental Baptist preacher in Minneapolis, Minnesota, came by his jail cell and invited him to a church meeting that night. He said, well, it's a different set of walls. Why not? He went, and for the first time in his life, he heard the message of Jesus Christ. He heard the gospel of Christ, how that he came, was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life, died in the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day for our sins, and that if he would repent and put his faith in Christ, he could be born again. Brother Lee knew his past, but he realized it wasn't a problem to God. Amen. He put his faith in Christ that night and got born again. He, by his own testimony, he said before he got up from that altar there in that jail that night, he knew the drinking was done. He knew the doping was done. He knew the fighting, the adulterating, the promiscuous living. He knew all of that was done, even all the way down to his foul language and his music. Brother hadn't been through discipleship. He'd never been to Sunday school. He'd never been to a camp meeting. He'd never been to a missions conference. He'd never been to a church, as far as I know. But something down deep inside of him said something's different now. I question a religion that doesn't produce a change in a person's life. Amen. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. This man got saved and things began to get right in his life. After he got sanctified, he got the discipleship. Amen. That all comes along with the process. I believe that's a missing element in our churches today. We don't have time to really deal with that, but we need to be discipling new converts. After he got sanctified, he submitted everything to Christ, lock, stock, and barrel. We find when Jesus is run out of town, this man just out of the nature of the new man, he wants to go where Jesus is going. He wants to be where Jesus is at. He wants to follow Christ, even if it means leaving the home of his nativity, getting on a ship, going to the other side of the world, and doing something else. Amen. He just wanted to be where Jesus was. I tell you, what if our church members today got to that place where they just wanted to be close to Jesus? Amen. Where they were willing to forsake everything, leave everything behind that was familiar, and go to get a hold of God and just stay close to him. He submitted everything to God. Not only did he submit everything to God, He surrendered himself to God's will. He wanted to go get on that ship and go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee with Jesus and his disciples. But Jesus said, I need you to stay here. I need you to tell these people what I have done for you. He submitted himself to God's will. We don't see where he stood there to argue with the Lord. Now, Lord, you know what they used to do to me. Lord, you know who I was when you met me just a few minutes ago. Lord, surely I can go with you. No, we don't see him doing that. We don't see him saying, well, Lord, I know you want me to go tell these people, but I've not been to Bible college yet. I don't know that I can do that. Lord, I get nervous in front of people. I get nervous in front of people. Amen. God called me to preach. Go figure. Amen. But no, so this man, he didn't start making excuses to the Lord. He just surrendered and submitted himself to God's will and said, all right, Lord, if that's what you want, I'll do it. I'll do it. Then I think this last part is the key element to all of this. He got busy serving. I believe there's a lot of people today that have got a call from God. They've got a clear direction from God for their life. And they said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. But then they set their own schedule for when they're going to do it, and they've not done any of it. They're sitting on the church pew week in and week out. They've got clear marching orders from our Lord and Savior, and they're sitting there waiting for just the right time to come along. They're waiting to get all their ducks in a row. Man, I've got squirrels in there everywhere, all right? I've never had ducks, and they've never been in a row, but... Amen. But they're sitting there making all these excuses why they can't go and do what God's called them to do. This man, just a few verses earlier, was running around naked, cutting himself, crying out, chains and fetters, no doubt, hanging off of him and living in the tombs and just was full of the devil. But now he's a missionary sent by God to go tell people what he had done for him so that they could have the same chance to repent and be born again just like he did. Amen. That's the grace of God at work. He doesn't go looking for the best and the finest. He goes looking for all who will believe and surrender and be willing to be a used vessel of God. Amen. He was scraping the bottom of the barrel when he got me. I still ain't figured out what he's thinking. Amen. But I'm glad he picked me up and decided to do something with my life. This man got busy and told everybody about Jesus. Notice the end of verse 20. It says, and all men did marvel. We're King James, right? We're not Calvinists, right? Okay, just make sure I'm in the right meeting, all right? Calvinists will take that word all and say that it's used out of context, and all doesn't really mean all. Heard about this great theologian, this great mind one time. He wanted to do a deep study on the word all to figure out what it meant. He spent years and just hours and hours and hours poring over this little three-letter word all to figure out the deep roots, the deep meaning, and all of it behind it. You know what his conclusion was? All means all. And that's all it all means. Amen. I'm glad when the Lord says that all can be saved, that all can be saved. So in our text here, when it says that all men did marvel, I believe that all the men of the coast of Decapolis marvel. That's a big 10-city area on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And I believe we can see evidence of this man's ministry over in Mark chapter number 7. Over here, we flip over just a couple pages in your Bible. Mark chapter 7, verse 31. And again, so remember, Jesus had just gotten kicked out of Decapolis for casting the devils out of this man, saving this man. This man, he is standing there on the Sea of Galilee that day, knee deep in the water, ready to get on the boat with Jesus and go wherever Jesus was sailing off to. Jesus says, I need you to go tell these people what I've done for you. I believe he looks up and says, all right, Lord. Hey, y'all, don't go anywhere. I got to tell you something about what Jesus did for me and what he'll do for you. I believe this man strikes out preaching and doesn't stop. Chapter 7, Jesus come and his disciples come back to the same area. Let's see what happens. And again, verse 31, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon and under the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis, same geographical location here. And they bring unto him one that was deaf. Who's they? Who's they? Is that the disciples? They just got there. Who is it? It's the people of Decapolis. That's right. The disciples hadn't had time to go out and find a deaf man and bring him to Jesus. The disciples, they're probably still figuring out what's for lunch, amen? But the people of Decapolis come and meet Jesus. Notice, let's read on here. They bring in him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. Where did they hear that Jesus can work miracles? Yeah. Jesus hadn't had time to preach there. The disciples hadn't got to go and minister there. Let's read on. They beseech him to put his hand, and he took him aside from the multitude. So now it's not just a few people. It's a multitude of people. In mountain terms, that's a whole lot of people, amen? I mean, there'd been a whole bunch of them right there. Let's read on. And put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain, and he charged them that they should tell no man. Now all of a sudden, the people that before didn't want nothing to do with Jesus, they can't keep their mouth shut about him. Amen. They charged them they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. They went from not wanting anything to do with God, the things of God, not wanting anything to do with this man named Jesus, to having the testimony of he doeth all things well. They couldn't keep their mouths shut about him, amen. They had what we'd call a case of the can't help it, amen. God had done something for them, and they couldn't help but tell somebody else about it, amen. When's the last time you got a case of the can't help it about Jesus, amen? It's amazing how one man was left to go and spread the message of redemption through Jesus Christ. And he was told to go to his house. He was told to go tell his friends. But he reached the entire coast of Decapolis, I believe, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How'd he do it? Hey, let me tell you something. I met Jesus. You can meet Jesus. Your past doesn't matter. Amen. He just did what we heard Wednesday night. He went and got busy telling people what Jesus had done for him. He didn't let anything stand in his way. He didn't let his flesh get in the way. He didn't stop until everybody had heard. Church, we have been commissioned to go and reach the world with the gospel. They are dying and going to hell every day. We have been told to reach the world. If God wanted us to reach the world, then we must be able to reach the world somehow. Amen. But it's going to take us faithfully and fervently serving and doing everything we can to tell everybody we can until we don't have breath in our body anymore. Amen. We must be busy serving. So if you're going to be a biblical Christian, a successful missionary this morning, you got to be saved. You got to get right with God. Amen. Get sanctified. Let the Lord's salvation work its way out in your life. Submit yourself to God. Surrender His will. And get busy serving. Amen. Thank you, preacher.